Then to Marcus, our visitor. You're very welcome to our service this morning. Just a reminder that, as you can see, we'll be meeting around the Lord's table for communion a little later on. Happy New Year to everybody if I haven't seen you previously. Just a reminder that on Tuesday at 7:30 we have our Zoom midweek prayer meeting, and I'll be leading that and continuing the series in the book that we've been studying. And next Sunday, I think David is leading once again in the morning. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and Happy New Year, everybody. Just forgot to put my microphone on, sorry. Yes, I think next Sunday, I think David Brock is coming, if I'm not mistaken. Some words to start us off from the Book of Lamentations for this new year. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I'm going to sing our first hymn in the Green Book, number 631. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. 631 will stand to sing.
When in distress, to him I
let us all pray together. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we come before you on this first Sunday morning of 2026, we come humbly. We come tremblingly. We come knowing that we are coming to the one who is holy, perfectly holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Lord, wherever we are, you are there. And we can approach you with reverence and with fear. Not the fear of dread, but the fear of awe because of your greatness. Great is the Lord and worthy to be praised. There's no one like you in wisdom, in justice, in compassion, and in love. How we praise you, O Lord, that at the beginning of this year we can come to you. Lord, we do want to come to you. We don't want this service to be a mere formality, a mere ritual and ceremony, a mere repetition of words and songs. Lord, we want to come to you, to come into your presence. We want to hear your voice. We want to know your touch upon our lives. We long, O Lord, that our words this morning might come from our hearts and might bring honour and praise to your holy name. Lord, we want to praise you. We want to worship you. We want to go home after our service knowing that we have met with the living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, you made everything. You made the world and everything in it. A beautiful world, an intricate world. The skies and the seas and the hills and the trees and the flowers and the birds, all of life. It's wonderful. But we are conscious that it's gone wrong. Not because it was faulty, but because that is to say me and everyone else, we have gone wrong. We have done wrong. We've been in the wrong. We haven't done that which we should have done. And we have done that which we should not have done. And all that we do is tainted with sin. And though, Lord, many of us here put our trust in you many years ago, and though we have sought to be your people and to follow you, yet we have continued to stray from your ways, to be selfish and proud and lazy and wrong. So as we come before you, we are conscious that we are still sinners, guilty, vile, and helpless we, that's us. But how we praise you, that we hear the voice of John the Baptist pointing to Jesus and saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We read that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. His blood was shed on Calvary's cross to pay for us, to pray for our sins. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He suffered the just for the unjust to bring us to God. So, Lord, as we come to you now, we confess our sins, even of this past week and today. We lay them upon the Lord Jesus, and we trust in his deep, deep love, his amazing grace, and his infinite sacrifice. And we pray, O Lord, forgive all our sins and wash us again in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now, first Bible reading is from Psalm 40, or it is Psalm 40, and you'll find that in the Church Bible on page 566. 566 in the Church Bible. Psalm 40, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who doesn't look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I can't see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great, but as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. So reads that wonderful psalm of David. Now we're going to sing again. We're going to sing number 731. O Jesus, friend unfailing, how dear thou art to me. 731.
Providing, thy love can ne'er grow.
Jesus, friend unfailing, how dear thou art to me. Now let us pray together again. Let us pray. Lord, this morning we have many things to thank you for. We thank you for your love and your kindness towards us every day. We thank you for this new year. We thank you for watching over us in the past year. And we thank you for the hopes and the promises, the things that lie before us in this coming year. And we thank you that we can come to you with our prayers. We come to you, Lord, first this morning on behalf of our country. We want to pray for our King and our Queen and our Prime Minister and our government and Parliament, those who rule over us, those, Lord, we know that there are so many things, so many difficulties, so many challenges that face us, that face our nation, that face our society. Lord, our rulers, our leaders need your wisdom. They need your help. Lord, we pray that they might seek it from you. They might seek your help. They might seek to follow your ways. They might seek to please you. We want to pray for our country in all its complexity. We want to pray for our health service this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we live in a country where we have health care available. And we pray for our doctors and nurses and hospitals and general practices and, Lord, all those who work in health care today. We pray that you will give them compassion and patience and kindness and wisdom in all that they do. We pray for our schools and our school children. We think of them going back to school this coming week and pray that you will bless them, bless those who teach them. We pray for children facing exams or preparing for exams, some thinking about their future. Lord, we pray that you will bless those who seek to bring the message of the Lord Jesus in our schools. And pray that many children in these days might seek after you. We pray for the churches around our country. Lord, we thank you that up and down the land, Lord, the Bible is being proclaimed, the message of the gospel, the love of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will bless your people today. We pray that the message of your love might ring out across our land, that you might stir in hearts and lives and be drawing folk to yourself. We pray, Lord, for our neighbouring churches in the villages around us that we think of in Warboys and in Over and in Chatteris and Ramsey and Deeping. We think of North Stowe. We think of Eden and the churches in Cambridge. Lord, we thank you for them all and pray that you'll bless them. Give them faith and hope and courage and perseverance as they step into this new year. We want to pray, Lord, for your servants across the world. We thank you for those in Grace Baptist Mission who are serving you in many different places today. We think especially today of Andre and Monica Kempczynski in Legionowa in Poland. Thank you for their faithful ministry and pray that you'll bless them and encourage them. Lord, build up that church and make it a light in a dark place. And we pray for our world. We pray for those in Ukraine today. We think of people in this cold weather whose electricity has been wiped out and, Lord, perhaps whose homes have been destroyed. And, We just pray, O Lord, that you would send relief and help. And we pray for your believing people, for the churches in that country, that you'll bless them today. Help them to show your love in these dark days. And we do pray that you might bring this war to an end. And we pray for the people of Venezuela today. Lord, we can't imagine what it must be like to be living there and to be wondering what's happening and what's going to happen. Lord, we pray for peace in that country. We pray for justice. We pray, Lord, that you will bless the churches there as they seek to serve you in these troubled times. Might they be able to point to the Lord Jesus, the only one who is our hope in this life and forever. We pray for our church here. We do want to pray for the family of our dear sister Sally, who went to be with you this past week. We want to pray for the family of Keith that we also lost recently. And we pray that you'll draw near to these families as they grieve their loss. Might they find hope and comfort in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the knowledge that your dear ones are now with you forever. We want to pray for Kathy's nephew Rob in Addenbrooke still, and we thank you for some progress this past week. We pray that you'll bless those there in intensive care as they care for him, and that he soon might make good progress, much progress, and Lord, that you will guide and direct for his future. We pray for our church. Lord, you know our need. Lord, that you would add to our numbers, and that you would send us a pastor to lead us, to shepherd us. And we pray for our families. We pray for those in our families who don't yet know you. Lord, that you might show, Lord, that they might see your love in the Lord Jesus. And so we pray for your blessing upon our service. Thank you that we can meet here in freedom, to serve and worship you, and pray that our worship might come from our hearts and that you would be honoured and praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, next hymn is number 734. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. 734. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters calm or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content I sit, it's this my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wage I would not flee, since thou through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Now, New Testament reading is in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. It's on page 1052. Page 1052, Luke chapter 18. We're going to start at verse 31, towards the bottom of the page. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." The disciples didn't understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they didn't know what he was talking about. In the Christmas story, in Luke chapter 2, we read of the shepherds, who after the visit of the angels said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened." And the whole Christmas story revolves around Bethlehem and going to Bethlehem. We sing about it in our carols. "Once in royal David's city, O little town of Bethlehem, Christ is born in Bethlehem," and so on. And we think of Mary and Joseph. Joseph taking Mary up there to register in the census in Bethlehem. We think of the shepherds, as we've mentioned, saying, "Let's go to Bethlehem." We think of the wise men, directed there by the scriptures and by the star. And of course, we think of our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus, being born there in all humility. Our focus and our thinking over these past few weeks has been on Bethlehem. At the end of the Christmas story in Luke's Gospel, the scene changes. Joseph and Mary take the baby Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him in the temple to the Lord. He's the firstborn son, and as such, according to the Jewish law, he has to be consecrated to the Lord, and a sacrifice has to be made, a sacrifice of doves or pigeons. So at the beginning of the earthly life of our Lord Jesus, we have him going up to Jerusalem, and we have a sacrifice being offered in accordance with the scriptures. Now here in Luke chapter 18, coming to the end and to the climax of Jesus' life on earth, in Luke 18 and verse 31, we read this: Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem." At the beginning of Jesus' life on earth, we had Jerusalem and a sacrifice. And here, as we come to the end of his life on earth, we have Jerusalem and a much greater sacrifice. We've been preaching for some time now through the Gospel of Luke, and this is the place that we've reached, chapter 18 and verse 31. Jesus has been on the go for 3 years, traveling, visiting, teaching, performing miracles, and training the disciples. These 12 men who have been following him, serving him, learning from him. And we're at something of a turning point now. And Jesus says to them, "We're going up to Jerusalem." And here we are today at a sort of turning point, at the start of another year. We're looking into, we don't quite know what. We're disciples of the Lord Jesus, followers of Jesus, but where is 2026 going? Where are we going in 2026? So when I read this next passage in our studies, it seemed to me that the Lord may have something to say to us today at the start of a new year. From this text, we're going to Jerusalem. How can we keep on the right way in 2026? How can we be sure not to give up or to wander astray? By following Jesus. But how can we keep on following Jesus? So let's look at these verses, verses 31 to 34, and think about following Jesus in 2026. I've got 3 points: following Jesus in the Bible, following Jesus to the cross, and following Jesus to heaven. Following Jesus to heaven. Because that, after all, is where we all want to go. And some of our dear friends have gone on ahead of us in recent days. So what about us now? So first point, following Jesus in the Bible. We're going up to Jerusalem, says Jesus, and everything that's written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. Everything we know about God and about Jesus is from the Bible. It's in the Bible that we meet Jesus and learn about him. It's the Bible teaching about Jesus that we need to believe. Many people have their own ideas about God. Many people have their own thoughts about Jesus and about who he was. But we can only find the truth about him by reading the Bible and believing all it teaches about him. We can't follow Jesus unless we follow the one, the Jesus, who is in the Bible. So there are 3 things I want you to notice here in verse 31 about following Jesus in the Bible. Everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. Jesus is the Son of Man. That's the name by which he often referred to himself. He is the Son of God who took on himself human flesh and became the Son of Man when he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He subjected himself to the life of a man, of a human being. That's central to the Christian message, that the eternal God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, came into this world that he had made and took up life as a man, as a human being, fully man whilst fully God. We can't follow Jesus unless we realise who he is. We need to believe what he tells us about himself. He's the Son of Man, the perfect man, the sinless man, the humble man, who was the baby Jesus at Christmas, and who is at the same time God. This is a mystery. We can't work it out by logic. We must believe it. During his life and ministry, Jesus told us many things about himself, this man who is God. He told us that he's the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. We can utterly trust him. We can rely on him. He told us that he's the bread of life. It's in him that our spiritual lives are nourished as we come to him. He told us that he's the light of the world, the one who can deliver us from the darkness of this world and from the darkness of our own sinful lives. These are high and lofty truths, and they're high and lofty because we're thinking of the Son of God. But he's not someone remote, someone mystical, someone incomprehensible. He became man. He is man. And we can follow him because he became one of us. He's like us. Jesus is the Son of Man. And he wants the disciples to trust him as he says, "We're going to Jerusalem." "We are going," he says. It's not just that God wants them, the disciples, to go up to Jerusalem. It is that the Son of God has come down to them, is one of them, and now, as a group of men, they are to go up to Jerusalem. And as we go into 2026, into an unknown future, unknown to us, but known to him, it's as if he says to us, "We are going into 2026. We are not alone. The Son of Man is with us. The Son of Man is accompanying us. The Son of Man is leading us." Jesus is the Son of Man, and he's the one prophesied about in the Old Testament. It's in the Bible, Old Testament as well as New Testament, that we meet Jesus and learn about him. Everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled, he says. The prophets wrote about Jesus. The prophets point to Jesus. The Old Testament points to Jesus. There are some clever men and women these days, well, they think themselves clever, who can't see this. They can't grasp that the Old Testament prophets were speaking of Jesus. These prophets weren't guessing, nor were they writing after the event. They were inspired by God to write infallible truths which were beyond their comprehension. These clever people today don't believe in inspiration. They don't believe in prediction. They don't believe that God showed men truths about the coming Jesus. Well, Jesus himself has no such inhibitions or doubts. Everything, he says, everything written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. Be fulfilled. Because in the Old Testament, there is predictive prophecy which awaits fulfillment and has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to follow Jesus in 2026, we must follow the Jesus of the whole Bible. So in 2026, we must be reading the whole Bible. Jesus is the Son of Man. He's prophesied about in the Old Testament. And thirdly, notice that we see from this text that he's the one who is in charge. We are going, he says to the disciples. We are going. He doesn't ask them what they'd like to do. He doesn't ask their advice or their opinion. He tells them, we are going to Jerusalem. He's in charge. They are the disciples. He is the master. They are followers. He is the leader. And that's how it is for us. We have a choice before us, to go his way or to go our own way. But if we want to follow him, we have to go his way. We can't follow him and go our own way. And there are two aspects to this. There's our lives in terms of the events of our lives, what happens to us day by day and year by year. He's leading us. If we're trusting him, we know that what happens is his will for us, however dark and difficult it may be. And when there's a fork in the road, we'll ask him, Lord, which is your way for me? Help me to know. Help me to follow. And there's a second aspect to his way, and it concerns the way that we live our lives, our behaviour, our character, our response to the ups and downs. We're to follow him. He is our leader. He's our model. The Apostle John in 1 John 2 verse 6 says this, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. We must follow Jesus in the way we walk as well as in where we walk. That was our first point. Following Jesus in the Bible. Following the Jesus that we find in the Bible. Now here's our second point. Following Jesus to the cross. This is verse 32. He, that is Jesus, the Son of Man, will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. That's what Jesus tells the disciples that they were going to in Jerusalem. To the mob, to Pilate, to the soldiers, to Calvary, and to the cross. And that is where Jesus tells the disciples, not just he is going, but they are going. We are going up to Jerusalem. If you're a follower of mine, he says, that's our destination. Being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, means following him to the cross. And that means following through tribulation. The Christian life, that is to say, the way of Jesus, will be one of tribulation. That was true when Jesus spoke to the disciples on their way to Jerusalem. And that is true for us in 2026. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus told his disciples, in this world you will have trouble or tribulation. There is a form of Christianity that says if you become a Christian, if you follow Jesus, all will go well. You'll be healthy and prosperous. And if you're experiencing difficulties or troubles or illnesses or tragedies, it means that you don't have enough faith or that you're guilty of some particular sin. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Jesus taught. That's not what the life of Jesus and the lives of the disciples shows. Quite the opposite. The way of Jesus is the way of the cross. You remember that Jesus told his disciples in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Don't be surprised if you encounter troubles in 2026, if life is difficult. Jesus hasn't abandoned us. No. We are going up to Jerusalem, he says to the disciples. And we are going into 2026, he says to us. That's why we sing these familiar words. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of grief shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Following Jesus to the cross, following through tribulation. And secondly, following with a purpose. The Christian life has a supreme purpose. Jesus is not going up to Jerusalem with, as it were, his teeth gritted together, because that's his fate, that's his lot. No, his going there has a supreme purpose. Back in Luke 9:51, Luke wrote this: as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Or, you might remember this better, he set his face like a flint to go up to Jerusalem. There was resolution, there was purpose in his journey. And it wasn't despite the difficulties and suffering and death that would face him. His suffering and death were the very purpose of his journey. Because it was through the cross that salvation would be purchased for us. It's through the cross that God would open the way for us to come to himself. And in 2026, though we may be old, most of us, though we may feel that our usefulness has passed, the truth is that if we're following the Lord Jesus, our lives have great purpose. For some of us, our careers may be a thing of the past. Our children have long since left home. We may have lost our life partners. Much of what we hoped for when we were young may seem unfulfilled. We may have gone the wrong way. But don't let's despair. Don't let us feel that our lives no longer have purpose. What is the chief end of man, asks the Catechism? To glorify God and enjoy him forever, is the response. That's why we're still here in 2026. That we might glorify God on earth. That must be our prayer at the start of 2026. Lord, help me to glorify you this year. Help me to live each day for your glory. Following Jesus to the cross means following through tribulation, following with purpose, and thirdly, following to the end. Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He was going to his end. He was going to die. And going with Jesus to Jerusalem meant for the disciples going with him to the end. There was no turning back. Jesus said, you remember, that someone who sets his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Following Jesus is a one-way ticket. The hymn says this: O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. In other words, to my end, all my days here on earth. As we enter 2026, we don't know if this might be the last year on our tombstone. But our prayer must be, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. O give me grace to follow my master and my friend. We've thought about following Jesus in the Bible. We've thought about following Jesus to the cross. And now finally and briefly, following Jesus to heaven. Because although we have spoken about following Jesus to the end, and although our lives will end in death, unless Jesus comes again before that, death is not the very end. It's really only the beginning. Those who follow Jesus have a sure and certain hope of eternal life. You remember in John 11 when Jesus spoke to Martha when her brother Lazarus had died, and he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And Jesus pointed to that again here in Luke 18 verse 33 when he said, "On the third day he will rise again. The Son of Man himself, he will rise again." Jesus said to the disciples, "We're going to Jerusalem." It was the place forecast in the Bible. It was the place of the cross. But it wasn't the very end of the story, because Jesus would rise from the dead and ascend back into heaven. Dear friends, let us keep our eyes on that goal. By keeping our eyes on Jesus in 2026, following Jesus all the way to heaven. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2, sorry, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, we read this: "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Fix our eyes on Jesus. And we're going to do that right now as we come to the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, to remember him, to fix our eyes on him, to think on him, to think on his way to Jerusalem, to suffer and to die for us, that we might be rescued from our sins, that we might be ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. Let us come now to share together in this memorial feast. Let us sing the first two verses of number 240. "King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be." And as we sing, let us make this our prayer for 2026. "King of my life, I crown thee now." Tenderly more. Some words from the prophet Isaiah. We've been thinking about what the prophets prophesied about the Lord Jesus. I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 53. It's on page 741 in the Church Bible. 741, Isaiah 53. We read the first six verses. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a shoot out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely, he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for our dear Lord Jesus, who went to the cross for us. He went to Jerusalem knowing what was facing him, because this is why he had come. This is why he had left the glories of heaven, to become a man, that he might take upon himself our sins and suffer in our place. Pay for our penalty. Lord, take our guilt upon himself. And we thank you, Lord, for these emblems, these two little things that you have given to us to help us to remember, to not forget Calvary, the cross, Jesus dying in our place. We thank you for the bread that reminds us that his body was broken for us. We thank you for the cup that reminds us that his blood was shed for us. We thank you that through him we can know forgiveness and peace with God and the hope of heaven. Lord, how we thank you and praise you. We pray that you'll bless us, and that you would be honored and glorified as we partake together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us eat the bread together, remembering the body of our Lord Jesus that was broken for us. Let us drink together, remembering that the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Let us sing the last three verses of 240. Let me, like Mary, through the gloom, come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. Stay standing for the benediction. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.